Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning. By way of introduction, I want to read a few scripture, then we'll move right on into the message. By way of introduction this morning, turn with me to Proverbs chapter number 4, first of all. Our Sunday school lesson this morning, Brother Keith was teaching a little bit on the abundant life that we have through the Holy Spirit of God that we receive when we receive the Lord in salvation. And I kind of want to, it's kind of amazing how I was studying this and praying for what the Lord would have me to do this morning. And it was sort of in line with the Sunday school lesson. But anyway, just by way of introduction, I want to read just one or a couple of verses of scripture, then we'll move on into the message. But before we do, we want to go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to help us. Father, this morning I pray in Jesus' name that you'll please, Lord, just take over this morning in this service. And Lord, I pray that we'll all here this morning just see you high and lifted up. Father, I pray that you'll help me now for the next while to say something that'll be a blessing, a help, and an encouragement to every precious soul in this place. Dear Lord, I lift up, Lord, and pray for our dear pastor and his wife, Lord, as they are away for a while. Pray that you'll watch over and protect them, bring them back home safely. And Lord, I pray now for this service again, Lord, that you'll help me to say something that will be a help to each and every soul. Should there be any here this morning, unsaved, unbelieving, God, I pray you'll save them before it's too late. And Lord, for all of us that are here this morning saved, I pray, dear God, you'll strengthen us all by your precious word. In Jesus' name I humbly pray, amen and amen. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter number 4 that this is coming from Solomon, the son of the King David, son of King David, Solomon. He was trained by David. He was raised by David. And so he and his mother, they were the ones that trained him, and they were the ones that helped him throughout his life. Listen carefully to what he said in verse number 1 of Proverbs chapter number 4, just to begin with. The Bible said, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live." Keep my commandments and live. Now go with me, if you will, over to Deuteronomy chapter number 11. And look with me, first of all, at verse number 1. Moses is giving instructions to the children of Israel. And as they travel along, and as Moses is getting ready to pass off the scene just shortly, here's the instructions of some of the things that he had to say to the children of Israel to help them in their walk with God and to help you and I as well. Amen. The Bible said in verse number 1 of Deuteronomy chapter number 11, "Therefore shalt thou love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge, and his statutes, and his judgments, and his commandment, alway." Now he didn't say always, he said alway. That means he is the only way, amen. There is no other way. There is no other God but our God. The God of this Bible is the only God, the only true God that we have in this whole world. He's the one that created it all. He's the one that made it all possible. Thank God he's the one that saved us. He's the one that made it possible for us to be here this morning. Thank God there's only one, amen. I like it that way myself. I mean, it cuts down all the confusion. There's the God of the Bible, then there's everybody else. Everybody wants to teach all kind of stuff, but there's one God, and there he is. And the Bible goes on to say in verse number 26 and throughout verse number 29, Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse number 26. The Bible said, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. a blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. But turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Verse number 29, and it shall come to pass when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land, whether thou go to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal. In other words, the Lord here has given us all a clear choice. We can have blessing or we can have cursing. We can have abundant life even in this life, or we can refuse it. We can reject or we can receive. It's all a matter of choice between each and every individual. There's whole nations this morning that have gone under because they made the wrong choice. There's whole nations this morning that are blessed by God because they made the right choice. Now, the problem is, why should I obey God? What is in it for me if I obey God? What is in it for you if we repent and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior? What's in it for you and me? Well, let's look at it, a couple of examples, and then we'll go on along. If you will now, turn with me to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. And look with me at verse number 1. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 1. Now he's speaking primarily to those of us this morning that are saved. But it's also a good thing for you that may not be saved to pay attention to. The Bible said in verse number 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now listen carefully to verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I thank God that when God saved you and me, he gave us eternal, everlasting life. We're never going to die. When you say, well, listen, that's not so, because the cemetery's full of dead people. You're just putting this off, and then you're going to really start living.
That's right.
So we have precious promises that are given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ if we put our faith and our trust in him, and if we choose to follow after him. I'm glad, thank God, that I made my choice about 41 years ago. I made up my mind, thank God, that it's just me and Jesus. I'm praising God. I thank him by his grace and by his blood, by the help and his mercy and his strength. I'm going through, amen. Made up my mind. How about you this morning? Have you made up your mind that you're going through? Or is there something else that you want to do? The Bible said to sit, in verse 2 again, it says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. He said, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. What's that mean? Well, first of all, one of the benefits of being born again is that my life, the old life, is gone. It's dead. It's forgotten. It's gone. Everything that I ever done before God saved me, it's gone. It's forgot about. I have a brand new life. I have a brand new way of looking at things. We have a brand new outlook on life. We have everything that we have is brand new. And it's new every day. Not just once in a while. Not just once 40 years ago. But it's new every day. Every day I get up, that the Lord lets us live, we got a brand new day, a brand new time to serve the Lord. So he says, set your affections. You know, if you really love somebody, or you really love something, you don't have a bit of problem going after, do you? If you love the church, if you love going to the house of God, if you love worshiping God, if you love being around God's people, you don't have a bit of problem being there. No problem at all. The problem comes in when you don't have that love. When you don't care as much for those things as you do these things. And many times, if we're not careful, we allow things of the world to take our attention away. And as a result, our spiritual life diminishes. And we get in trouble with God because our affections are not right. And then he has to stir up things a little bit. In other words, things we're going after are not going to be so comfortable. And then after a while, they're going to get worse. And then eventually you're going to realize, hey, you know, I've got my eye in the wrong place. I've started after the wrong thing. I need to get back to the house of God. I need to get back with God's people. I need to get back in the altar and pray. I need to pick up my Bible and start reading and understanding and praying after God, following God for understanding and helping me and learning more and more. And those are the things that really matter in life. All these other things that we go after out here are going to pass away one day. They're going to be burned up. But he says, set your affection on things above. Then he says in verse number 5, he said, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. Never forget where you came from. Never, the old saying used to be years ago by the old people, they used to say, don't get above your raising. In other words, never forget the mess you was in. Don't dwell on the sin. Don't rejoice in the things you used to do wrong. But he said, forget those things. Don't let those things dwell in you. But he said, don't forget who brought you and how you got from it. Amen. Then we set our affections on him who brought us from those things to where we are today. If we live or if we pass away, so be it. We're going to be well anyway it goes. The Bible says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Nobody has a right to bring up anything, nowhere, from any of us that we've done in the past. It's all been gone. It's all done away with. Now I want to give you an example. I mentioned a while ago, and I haven't really answered the question, but I'm going to. What's in it for us to be born again, to be saved, to follow after Jesus, to set our affections on him? What's all this about? What's in it for me? Well, let's look at one example. We've seen the instruction from Solomon, David's beloved son. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter number 29. 1 Chronicles chapter number 29. And look with me. Now this is King David. He's getting ready to pass away. Won't be long. But he's giving you a little brief look. He's in the process of turning everything over to Solomon. Solomon is going to become king of Israel. And he is the one that was commissioned and able by God to build that beautiful, beautiful temple for God's people to come and worship. Look at what he said in verse number 1, chapter number 29, 1 Chronicles 29. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. I want you to get that real good and clear. This temple that David had so longed for and wanted to see built for God's people, that they come could worship him and learn about him. This great, beautiful place that God had placed in the heart of David, and it was in his mind for years and years this thing went on. David was not able to complete the building because the Bible said that he had shed blood. Because of his, all the many battles and all the things he'd been through in life, he shed blood, and therefore God did not deem him qualified to go ahead and build this beautiful temple. But nonetheless, he had it in his heart. Now he's going to pass this work on to his son. But I want you to notice some things, and as we go through these few scriptures, I want you to notice a couple of things that he did. God blessed him in miraculous ways. You could read about David everywhere he went. God blessed him. You say, but yeah, he sinned. Yeah, he sure did. He messed up in a big way. He sure did. But God never stopped loving him. That's a lesson, by the way, to me and you.
Amen.
You and I have messed up too.
That's right.
We ain't worth nothing.
Come on.
But boy, he ain't never stopped loving me.
Right.
He ain't never stopped loving you. He'll never stop giving to you. He'll never stop helping you. Because you belong to him. You're one of his children. When we mess up, we confess and we get up and we go on. And leave it behind. Something else happens, we confess, we get up, we go on. I believe the Bible said in one place a righteous man can fall 7 times. Matter of fact, you can fall 70,000 times and God will still get you up and help you. But he goes back here, he says, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. Notice, the gold for the things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones, and stones to be set, glistering stones of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection. Now listen, his affection was set in the right place, thank God. He said, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. I want you to notice what was in it for him. What was in it for him to set his affection on God? What's in it for you and me if we set our affection on God? God took care of him all the days of his life. God not only took care of him, but God prospered him all the days of his life. The Bible said he had gold abundantly. He had riches abundantly. God just blessed and blessed and blessed and poured out more and more onto him. And everything that he had, here was the key. Everything he had, everything that came in his hand, he gave it back to God. Everything that came to his hand, he gave it to God. He said, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. He goes on to say in verse number four, even 3,000 talents of gold and of gold of ophir and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for things of gold and the silver for the things of silver, for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate this service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers of the princes of the tribes of Israel and of the captains, thousands and hundreds with the rulers of the kings work offered willingly. Everyone came together. God blessed, and because he had his affection set on the house of God. He had his affections set upon the Lord God of heaven. Because he had his affections, thank God, right in the right place. Because he had his mind and his attitude of giving and everything that he had it right in the eyes of God. And the Bible blessed, and people just came and came and came and gave and gave and gave. And the house of God was built. Next of all, and last of all, and I'll close with this. What's in it for you? What's in it for me? Go with me now to Psalm chapter 91. Psalm chapter 91. The Bible said in verse number one, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. What's in it for you? What's in it for me? I think it's pretty clear so far. I could keep on going for about 4 or 5 years here, but I'm going to stop. But I gave you just a little of a whole lot of what it is to be right with God, to have fellowship with him, to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're born again saved. And if you leave this world where you're going, there's nothing to compare to it. Nothing. I'd rather be saved than anything that I know of in this world. I'd rather know that I'm right with God, no matter what anybody thinks, says, or does. I'd rather know in my heart that I'm right with God and I'm living according to his word as close as I possibly can, so that when I go to meet him, thank God, I'll have open arms when it comes time to go. I'd rather have that than all the riches of this world. But isn't it amazing how that Jesus has blessed you and me in so many ways, materialistically? He's blessed us physically. He's blessed us mentally. He's blessed us in all kinds of ways. You say, well, preacher, looks like you're having a pretty hard time with afflictions and so forth and so on. Let me remind you that Psalm 34:19, let me read it for you. Turn with me to Psalm 34 right quick. Let me read this something to you. Yeah, we're going to have trouble in this world, that's for sure. We're going to have trouble in this body, that's for sure, because it's going back to the earth. But I want to show you a little something that I take great comfort in. Our Lord said, in Psalm 34, verse number 19, he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but that's not the end of it. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Not all but one, not all but two, not all but three or four. He said, all. I believe that. Whether anybody else does or not, I believe that. You say, why do you believe it? Because he said it. He don't lie. We have precious promises given to us in the Word of God. The unsaved know nothing about them because they don't know the Lord of the Bible. They're missing so much. They're going through so many hardships that are unnecessary. All because by their pride, by their self-will, they reject the truth that Jesus loves them and gave himself for them. And all he wants is to have fellowship with them. All he wants is for them to repent of their sin, realize that they're the reason why that they're in the mess they're in, and come to him so he can straighten them out. And he does a good job of it. He's still working on me. Been 41 years now. He ain't got done yet. He's still working on some of y'all in here this morning too. But thank God he ain't stopped. And guess what I found out? He's not going to. He's not going to stop. He's going to continue on until such time as we're complete. And then we'll go to be with him. And what a day that's going to be. Like the song they just sang said, what a day that's going to be. When my Jesus, as you'll see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, the one who loved me when I was a sinner, the one who gave himself for me when I was abominable, when I was out there doing everything wrong, when I was going completely the opposite way away from him and didn't care about nothing. The one who loved me, he gave himself that I, something like me, could be in his house, born again, saved, have eternal everlasting life, have all the promises and the principles given to me by the Word of God, and be able to sit in his house in fellowship with his people. Thank God. What a God. What a God that we have this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. Sister Bonnie, if you would please come to the piano and get a song of invitation. While she comes and gets the song this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. No one's looking around. If you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to you about something, maybe he's put his finger on something in your heart, in your life, and you just like to slip out and come talk to him a while. Why don't you do that this morning? Why don't you make the right choice this morning? You've made all the other choices you've made have been not been so good. Why not make one good one? The best one you'll ever make is when you come to him and you give your life. Give it all. David gave it all. Thank God he gave it all. If we were to be able to talk to David right now, the great king of Israel, and ask him what regrets he had by giving it to God, he'd say absolutely nothing. Not a thing. Doesn't regret nothing. The greatest day of your life awaits you right now. You're here this morning. Maybe you're undecided. Why don't you make the right decision and give everything to him? And walk out of this place this morning with a spring in your step and joy and peace in your soul that passes all understanding of man. Look at all the good things that Jesus has for us, has for you. Father, Lord, I've done what you told me to do. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name now, Lord, that you'll take your word. Lord, I pray that it'll find a lodging place in every heart and every soul, that you may have glory to yourself alone. In Jesus' mighty blessed name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your attention. I certainly praise you and thank God for your prayers. I hope and pray that something's been said this morning that'll be a help to you in this walk of life. Don't forget the service now tonight at 6:00. Come praying. Brother Jeffrey will be preaching, Lord willing. You come and pray for him and continually pray for our pastor as he travels and enjoy a little time away for a while, him and his wife, and just do everything you can to bless and encourage each other. All right, Brother Keith.